Archers for the week 10 to 15 October 1999.
But home farm, it's still daggers drawn between Brian and Debbie.
Dad, there you are.
Oh, morning, Debbie.
I noticed a section of fence down as I was coming in.
Oh, where's that?
The 40 acres, down by the wood.
The ewes aren't in there, are they?
No, no, not yet. Fortunately, they're in the next field up.
Oh, well, I'll get someone onto it. We don't want them wandering off.
Well, you could always put the draft ewes in there. As long as if they're worth anything.
Debbie.
Are you joking?
I thought you'd be out on Longfield by now.
I've got to fill up with diesel first, haven't I?
It's 10:15.
I'm not late, Dad.
I know you've got to travel from Borchester. David's been drilling for over an hour already.
Only for him.
Oh, did you know I've been asked to give evidence at Tommy's trial?
Nope. You will stick to the facts, won't you?
Of course I will. I always do, don't I, Jenny?
What, Brian?
Stick to the facts.
Sorry, but I've got the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Tommy's trial, giving evidence.
Oh, you mustn't be too hard on him, I know you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you two, it's a court of law.
So?
So I'm going to tell them the truth.
Which is?
Exactly what I saw. The damage that Tommy and that bunch of hooligans did to our crop.
And that's all?
Yes, that's all.
Good. Did you and Simon have a good time at the cinema last night, Debbie?
Yeah, it was great.
What did you see?
You'll never guess.
Well, go on, tell me.
Same as you, The Third Man.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, we both did.
Oh, it's a terrific film, isn't it?
At the edge of my seat.
Oh, well, they don't make them like that anymore, unfortunately.
Did Simon suggest it?
Yeah, he's decided he needs to educate me about these things.
At least that's something.
Come on, please.
Well, you'd be surprised. He's got me listening to classical music and his old jazz recordings.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I feel like my eyes are being opened.
Are you going to drill that week, Debbie?
Yes, Dad, in a minute.
I have a feeling that Simon's going to be a very good influence on you.
What do you mean, going to be? He already is.
I knew it would work out for the best.
I think I'll go and see to that fence.
Did you go to Botticelli's afterwards?
Yes, yes, we did. And we had those amazing vongole they do.
Oh, they're gorgeous, aren't they?
Listen, I'd better go, Mum, otherwise Dad's going to blow his top.
Oh, don't pay too much attention to him.
I'll try not to. I'll catch you later.
I do so love these early autumn days, don't you, Marjorie?
Yes, I do. And I can still see all the beautiful colours of the trees, even if I can't make out the detail.
Well, you must let me fill in the detail.
You certainly helped me with the hymns today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Ah, Bert, were you looking for me?
Hey, yes, oh, he was. Oh, you've got somewhat important to tell you.
Oh, shall I go on?
Oh, no, Marjorie, you may stay. What is it, Bert?
It's about the panto, and it's good news.
Ah.
You know that letter we got Mrs. Barber to write?
Yes.
Well, it's worked.
Really?
That Larry Lovell. Whoa.
Yes. Well, go on, Bert, go on.
Well, he's only gone and given up, ain't he?
Has he?
Yeah, that letter must have done the trick.
So, that leaves a vacancy for the job of producer for the Ambridge Millennium Pantomime, does it not?
No, but he don't reckon it does.
Well, has someone else come forward?
You have.
What? Oh, yes, of course. How silly of me.
Oh, Linda, that's marvellous. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Marjorie. Bert, was it a unanimous decision by the committee?
No. I told them you wanted to do it, and they said OK.
Well, of course, one always knew that common sense would prevail in the end.
Especially after last year's fiasco.
Oh, well, quite. Now then, Bert, we mustn't waste any more time.
Oh, it's not going to direct itself, is it?
Exactly. I'm going to be relying on you a great deal in the coming weeks.
Oh, are you now?
Oh, yes. The assistant producer's job is one of the most responsible in the whole company.
Oh, so that's what I am, is it?
Yes. Now, we need a meeting to get ourselves organised.
What, now?
Oh, no, let's not be too hasty. Shall we say 5 o'clock this afternoon?
Oh, but I was thinking of taking Friedrich.
I do think we should get the ball rolling, don't you? There's so much to do.
Oh, I suppose so.
Good. 5 o'clock it is, then. Come to Ambridge Hall.
Oh, right you are, then.
That should still leave us time for our little stroll this afternoon, Marjorie.
Oh, are you sure? We can always postpone it if you're too busy.
Oh, no, I'm not too busy. There's always time for a walk in the country with a friend.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello.
Yeah, a bit of luck. We should get the linseed finished within the week.
Should you, darling?
Yeah.
means we can get started on the sugar beet next week.
Oh, that's good.
Of course, it all depends on getting the drilling done on time.
Is Debbie still out there?
Well, you're asking the wrong person. I haven't seen her since this morning.
I wanted to catch her before she went.
Well, she's definitely avoiding me.
Oh, she's been very busy. Oh, could you pass me that knife?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
You know, I just can't believe she won't even try to see sense.
She'd say the same about you.
Yeah, but it's so obvious.
You should never have told her that you'd cut off her inheritance. It was a ridiculous thing to say.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do. And you know I'm right.
Yeah, but I mean, how was I to know she'd be so sensitive about it?
You should have thought of that before you said it.
Well, perhaps I was a bit harsh.
Of course you were, Brian. Why don't you go and apologise to them both?
Well, I can't do that.
Why ever not?
He'd think I was a complete fool.
Well, he almost certainly already does.
Damn sight better than being a complete charlatan.
Brian, why can't you see that you'll never get Debbie back if you go on like this?
No, darling, you're quite right.
You've been such a good father to her. Don't throw it all away over a stupid argument.
She's the best manager I've ever had. But I just can't help thinking about what happened before. How Simon treated her.
It was a long time ago, and people change.
You really think he's changed?
Yes, I do.
You see, I don't think so.
Brian, when was the last time you saw Debbie so happy?
I don't know.
She's on top of the world. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, but she could be happy with someone else.
Oh, like Simon Pemberton, perhaps?
No, goodness sake, not him. Of course not.
Right now, Simon Gerard is the best thing that could be happening to Debbie.
Yeah, but will you still be saying that in a year's time?
Yes. Yes, I think I will. But even if I'm wrong, it's the right thing for her now.
I wish I shared your confidence.
Darling, when we first met, I was so grateful that you were happy to take on my children as well as me. Not every man would have done that. You've been the best stepfather that Debbie could have wished for. Just think what you're doing. Don't throw it away.
Charlie, don't go down there. That's it. Good dog.
Oh, she's really enjoyed herself, hasn't she?
So have I, Linda. Thank you so much for coming with us.
It's been a pleasure.
It's so frustrating not being able to get out as much as I used to. Especially at this time of year, when the colours are so glorious.
I hope my descriptions were helpful.
Yes, they were. You really opened my eyes for me.
Talking of which, I simply adore the brilliant red shoots of the Acer palmatum we're coming up to on our left.
Oh, yes. Yes, they're almost pillar box red, aren't they?
Always tells me that I'm nearly home.
Is that you, Mrs. Stout?
Oh, no. It's Bert. I forgot all about him.
Oh, dear.
I've been waiting here for over half an hour.
I'm so sorry, Bert. Margie and I got rather carried away.
I do apologise, Bert.
It's all very well you going out picking blackberries and, mushrooms.
And sloes, too.
Would you like some?
No, I wouldn't. I'd like to get down to business.
Did Robert give you a cup of tea?
Yes, he did, and then he had to go out.
Oh, well, never mind. I'm here now.
I think I'd better leave you to it.
Won't you come in for a cup of tea, Margie?
No, thank you. I said I'd drop in a birthday card for Susan, and then I want to get home before it gets dark.
Oh, well, Robert can give you a lift if you don't mind waiting.
No, you two have important things to discuss.
Yes, we do.
Well, perhaps Bert should see you back home.
No, it's all right. I know my way.
Yes, but cars come very fast along here, and with your eyesight... Oh, look, here comes Debbie. Blacksmith, she'll give you a lift.
No, please don't worry.
I'll flag her down. I'm sure she won't mind. Anything wrong? Oh, no, nothing's wrong. I just wondered if you might be able to give Marjorie a lift back to Nightingale Farm. And she needs to drop a card in at Susan's, too.
It really doesn't matter.
I'm sure Debbie won't mind. She's obviously on her way out somewhere.
No, that's fine. I don't mind.
But it's only just down the road.
You see, with Marjorie's eyesight not at its best, it could be rather dangerous.
Yes, I agree. Hop in, Marjorie.
Well, there's Charlie as well.
Oh, that's all right. I've had dogs in here before.
Yes, thank you. It's most kind.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Are you on your way to Borchester, by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Well, in you go, Charlie.
Come on, I'll sit.
Yes, really, it's very kind of you, dear.
Oh, no, it's no problem. It was nice to see you too, Charlie.
Charlie? Down, girl. Oh, I'm so sorry. She knows she's not supposed to lick faces.
No, I really don't mind.
Debbie, I was wondering if you were going to audition for this year's Canto.
Oh, is it that time of year already? I hadn't even thought about it.
Posters should be going out by the end of the week.
Ooh, that's news to me.
What's it going to be this year?
Babes in the Wood.
No, it ain't. It's Puss in Boots.
Oh, no. No, 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 Bert, I'm sorry. It can't be.
Why not?
Look, we'd better go, Linda. I'll let you know about the auditions.
Goodbye, Linda.
Goodbye.
Bye, Bert.
Yeah, bye.
Bye, Marjorie. Thanks again, Debbie.
That's OK.
Well, what's wrong with Puss in Boots?
Everything, Bert. It's a morally bankrupt tale about a cat who cheats and connives to win his master's fortune. It's quite unsuitable.
Oh, I remember going to see it as a kid. I laughed so hard I fell off my seat. They spanked me and sent me home.
Really? I always thought it rather dreary myself.
They had this music hall turn in it. What was his name?
I already have a script for Babes from Sunningdale. It should be fairly straightforward to update it with topical references for the millennium.
Is it funny?
But of course it is.
I could write some funny verses if you like.
Yes, yes, I'm quite sure you could. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, not much later. My reader's expecting me out.
Now, I think we should start with the design for the posters.
It's no good. I can't help the way I feel.
Why can't you let it go, Brian?
Because I know what he's like. And so do you.
We have to forgive and forget.
Yeah, but can't you see that's exactly what he wants?
Oh, what's wrong with that? He's changed.
He's trying too hard to please everybody.
You mean he's charming?
Insincere is the word I'd choose.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Brian. It's only you that doesn't trust him.
I know. That's what worries me.
Right. I think that's everything. Casserole's in the arga. I give it half an hour. And you can call Alice down from her room when it's ready.
Why are you putting your coat on?
What did I tell you? Going out.
Nowhere.
Debbie and Simon's. They've invited me round for supper.
What?
Well, they thought it best not to invite you, and I have to say I agreed with them.
To some more docile animals, because at Grange Farm, Ed is encouraging his protégé, Poppy the cow.
All I want, Poppy, is one or two little masterpieces, all right? That's not too much to ask, is it? Oh, he's an odd. Thing is, the harder I work, the faster the bills seem to come in. First it's the electric, then it's the vets. Not that I'm blaming you, like. It's not your fault you've got this abscess. And I reckon these pictures will sell. Oh, pity the snacks wagon didn't last a bit longer. Any rogues. Baggy has given me these tins. Left over from when he done that decorating job. Before they found out he was colourblind. We could have a go with this one. Mocha cream. Oh. Lemon kiss. It's a lovely yellow. Okay. I know you artists can be a bit temperamental. What about burnt orange? Oh, bingo! That's it, Poppy. Good girl. You make as much mess as you like.
There you go, Linda. One dry white wine.
Oh, thank you, Hayley. That's very kind.
What? We deserve it for the look on Marjorie's face when she got home last night.
Well...
So nice to see her smile again. She's been that miserable.
I know.
You know they've put back this operation on her cataracts till after Christmas.
Why don't you tell me all about it? It's just not good enough.
It makes me so angry. When I hear all this stuff about waiting lists coming down.
I wish I could give her something to do in the pantomime.
Linda, she'd love that.
But the prop corner's obviously out of the question.
She'd never be able to read the script.
Mm. Shall I just have to put my thinking cap on?
Excuse me, you two. You haven't seen Sid, have you?
I think you'll find him behind the bar.
Nope, there's nobody there.
We're just discussing my new production of Babes in the Wood, actually.
Yeah, sorry, Linda. Tell me about it another time.
Of course.
I'll see if he's in the plans.
Oh, dear. Alistair seems a bit flustered.
Well, I think him and Sid had a bit of a doodah about the cricket match against Arrington.
Oh, is that all?
They keep blaming each other about not registering those Kiwis.
Oh, look, it's Brenda.
The intrepid reporter from Radio Borsetshire.
Hello, you two.
That looks very impressive.
What, the recording equipment?
Yes, it looks very technical.
Are you going to be doing some recording, Brenda?
Well, I hope so. This tape machine's blooming heavy to lug around otherwise.
That's brilliant.
And what is it you're going to record?
Oh, well, I persuaded the news editor to let me have a go at getting some opinions about GMOs.
Oh, you mean Vox Pops?
Yeah, that's right. If they're interesting enough, we'll use them in Wayne Foley's show after the trial.
Well, you couldn't have found a better place to start, if I may say so. I have, of course, given numerous interviews, and Hayley's quite a media star herself.
I wouldn't exactly put it like that.
Your Strawberry Princess was the talk of Borsetshire.
Well, I'm not looking for star returns.
No, no, I appreciate that, Brenda. What you want is informed, articulate opinion stating the case against the abomination that is genetic modification.
Actually, and I'm looking for both sides of the argument. You know, to give it a bit of balance. Especially after the rant my dad's given me about tabloid hysteria and anti-GM propaganda.
He's pro-GM, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He says they're a legitimate attempt to find better and more efficient ways of feeding the world.
Oh, does he now?
Come in.
It's only me.
Eddie, what can I do for you?
I've got something to show you.
Oh, it's a good job I cleared my desk, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, but it's important, miss. I think you'll be impressed.
Is this bundle of rags a portfolio?
Oh, no, it's nothing like that. It's some paintings.
I thought so. Some old masters you've discovered in your attic, perhaps?
Not exactly.
But I should warn you that we only deal in contemporary art. We don't show old paintings.
Oh, that's okay. These are fresh on today.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was with the artist myself as the muse came upon her.
Was she too shy to come in herself?
Speaking as her agent, I thought it best to come on my own this first time.
Can I see them?
This one's called Half Past Four.
It's a very bold picture, strong colours.
Oh, she likes being bold.
It's distinctive too, especially the spirals.
So you like it then?
How many more are there?
Two at the moment.
Can I see them?
Okay. 6:15 and round about tea time, they're called.
Mm. These are interesting too.
I thought you'd better see them first.
Why is that?
Before I told you, like.
Tell me what?
Who the artist is.
Is it you?
Oh, no, I ain't got the talent. It's one of our Jersey heifers, Poppy.
What? You mean a cow painted these?
That's right.
I'm sorry to laugh, Eddie, but we really can't exhibit a cow's work.
Why not, if they're good enough?
Well, I mean, she's not a reliable source of work, is she?
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll make sure Poppy comes up with the goods.
Look, Eddie, it's not as simple as that. It's very late in the day to include new pieces in this exhibition.
Or maybe the next one, then?
I tell you what, leave them with me.
OK. If you decide to go ahead, I was thinking of a 70-30 split on the profits.
It doesn't work like that, Eddie, and I haven't made a decision yet. But I will get back to you.
I see. Right. I'll be off then.
Look out.
Oh, sorry, Nigel. I didn't see you there.
Eddie, what are you doing here?
I expect your missus will explain. Bye, then.
Hey, bye, Eddie.
I've just had a bit of a spat with our star turn.
Jerome Deakins?
Yeah. That wretched man only wants us to change the position of every light in the gallery.
Well, we can't.
I know. He's even complaining about the ones that are nowhere near his paintings.
Oh, dear. Shall I come and butter him up?
You can try. What was Eddie doing here, by the way?
Ah, now that should cheer you up.
Why?
Take a look at these.
What, did he do them?
Oh, and no. You are looking at the oeuvre of Poppy, the Jersey heifer.
You're joking.
I'm not.
I'm afraid it's true, Alistair.
But who made the complaint?
It's got to be Myerson, hasn't it?
So we lose all the points from the Darrington match?
Yeah, and another 10 as well. For illegal practices.
That puts us down to the bottom of the league.
And there's the fine for playing two unregistered players. Oh. It's all here in the letter.
Yeah, well, I still can't believe you didn't register them.
Hang on a minute, it's not my fault.
Well, whose is it then? You're the manager, as you've been so keen to remind us throughout the season.
And you're the captain, responsible for matters on the field of play.
Well, whose idea was it to play them in the first place?
Not mine.
Why are you two? Let me guess, sir. Has this got something to do with cricket?
Stay out of this, Eddie.
They're celebrating Day of the Cat already.
Oh, are they?
I knew it. I flipping knew it. I'll kill Marson when I see him.
Did I say something wrong?
Yes, Eddie, I think you did.
The bull, Ambridge.
Hey,
You know what,
Alistair?
I reckon you and Sid should take up painting.
Give it a rest, Eddie.
If that's the only way you look at me, then you're welcome to the relaxing painting,
especially if someone else is doing it.
What are you talking about?
My heifer Poppy's been doing it.
Ah, very funny.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth reckons she's got talent. She could be the exhibition.
You're pulling my leg.
Oh, no. You should get Daniel's hedgehogs to have a go. Roll the spikes in emulsion.
No, they make quite enough mess as it is.
Oh, we'll get our revenge next season, don't you worry. Oh, can you believe it?
If it's Sean, yeah.
Crowing over as he was, as if they planned the whole thing.
Look, Sid, I ought to be getting back.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right, Alistair, I'll see you.
Yeah, I'll see you. Bye, Eddie. I'll bear in mind your tip about painting.
Yeah, you do that. Hey, never mind, Sid. Worse things happen at sea.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, and look at Brian Aldridge wandering in here last night like a lost soul.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Didn't stay long, did he? Oh,
apparently, he went up to Grey Gables afterwards and couldn't find no one there to talk to, neither. Oh. Evening, Mrs. Snow.
Good evening, Eddie. Sid.
Well, what's going on there, then?
No, I don't know. Point to show us when you're ready.
OK.
I think I might be able to shed a little light there.
Mrs. Linda Snell, the fount of all knowledge.
No, Sid, I just keep my eyes and ears open.
What's Brenda doing with Alistair?
Oh, it's just a little box pop. Actually, I'm impressed. She's rather good at it.
Thanks for doing this, Alistair.
No problem.
Right. I'm recording now. OK, Alistair, where do you stand on the issue that's got all Ambridge talking? GM crops.
I'm keeping an open mind on it.
That's an interesting stance on such a contentious issue.
Well, sure, we've all heard the scare stories. And I do have my reservations about the plans of big business being pushed through too quickly. But as one of the farmers I was working with the other day put it, we can't afford to stand still and look backwards. Farmers need to make optimum use of science and technology.
OK, so you're in favour of genetic modification of food?
Well, I don't think it helps to say you have to come down on one side of the line or the other. In one sense, genetic modification has been going on for hundreds of years. You know, selective breeding, hybridisation, and we've all benefited from that.
But surely that's different to lab techniques of today.
Well, I'm not so sure it is. There's a logical through line there.
So you're in the open mind camp then?
Yes, I am. If genetic modification can be proven to be as beneficial as the claims that are made for it, and I know that's still a big if, then I think it would be foolish to stand in its way. That's all I've got time for, I'm afraid.
OK, thanks, that was great.
Poor darling, are you really uncomfortable?
It's just impossible to find a good position for more than a few minutes with this enormous bump.
Must be awful.
When did we finish supper?
You're not still peckish.
Yes. I shouldn't eat any more.
If you need to.
No, I mustn't. Changed shape enough already.
You're a beautiful shape.
You've seen my stretch marks. They're terrible.
I still love you, stretch marks and all.
You are sweet. I've been thinking about Eddie's pictures.
You mean Poppy's?
Yeah. I think we could make something of them. I mean, they could be good publicity.
You're not serious.
Remember that elephant whose work sold like hotcakes? Wasn't there an artistic otter once?
This pregnancy is beginning to affect your judgment.
Honestly, Nigel, they're not bad. I think it would be fun. Oh, I tell you what, this pregnancy is affecting there.
What's that?
My ability to stay awake.
That's perfectly normal, you know. It says so in this book on twins. Now, listen to this.
Only if you let me snuggle up.
Okay. You may like to start stroking, talking, or singing to your babies.
You've got such a lovely voice. Why don't you sing to them?
Think I should?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here goes. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop, when the wind blows. Look, one of them's moving, Lizzie. They really can hear me. Look. Oh, calm down in there, you two. Your mum's asleep. Lizzie, I do love you.
Linda's hoping Greg will lend a hand.
See what I mean, Greg?
I'm not sure that I do, Mrs. Snell.
But it's perfectly obvious. Here we are on the front steps of this superbly appointed four-star hotel. And what do we see ahead of us?
The country park.
Yes, yes, of course. But what is lurking behind those trees?
More country park?
No, Greg. I'm talking about the hazard that is Arkwright Hall. Mr. Woolley very nearly met his end there the other week.
What's that got to do with me?
Well, don't you see, we have to do something.
But it's been boarded up.
Guests will be tempted to go nearer as they strode across the grounds.
Yeah, I shouldn't think so. It's falling down.
Well, you know how inquisitive people can be.
Well, they'd be pretty stupid to go near a place surrounded by scaffolding, barbed wire and red and white tape.
Yes, well, I'm afraid people are pretty stupid in my experience, Greg. You must put up notices warning them of the dangers within.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Snell, but Arkwright Hall has nothing to do with me.
Well, you work out in the grounds, don't you?
Yes, but I'm a keeper. I only have responsibility for the safety of the guests when they're involved in a shoot.
Oh, well, if you're not prepared to help, then
look,
really,
it's not a matter of not being prepared to help.
What's the meaning of this notice you put up by reception?
Ah, Caroline, surely you agree that we must warn our guests about the hazard that is Arkwright Hall.
Not like this, I don't.
Right. Well, if you'll excuse me, I've got work to get back to.
Have you been asking Greg to warn people off?
Yes, and I must say his response was most unhelpful.
I don't blame him. It has nothing to do with him.
But surely public health and safety is a responsibility of all of us.
Linda, I should be delighted if you'd stick to your job as receptionist so you can greet our guests properly. All you're succeeding in doing is giving them the impression that the country park is full of dangerous and ugly old buildings.
Well, sorry if you've misconstrued my
intentions. A notice like this is far more likely to draw people's attention to Arkwright Hall than put them off. Why on earth do you need to mention the priest's toll, for example?
But it is one of the main features.
But our guests don't know that. Nobody goes near it normally. You're just saying, here I am, come and explore.
Well, I must say that... Oh, look, it's Mr. Woolley. Mr. Woolley, could you help us?
What is it, Linda?
Don't worry, Mr. Woolley, I'll deal with it. Linda, I want you back behind that desk now. There are guests arriving.
Very well. But I'm sure Mr. Woolley would agree with me.
Kindly put this notice in the bit... No, on second thoughts, I'll do it myself.
Whatever was Linda doing out here when there are guests to be received?
It's a very good question.
Hardly gives the right impression, does it?
No, I've told her so. It's just that she's got on her high horse about Arkwright Hall.
Oh, I see. Well, she's got a point. I've just been looking at it. It really is an eyesore, isn't it?
Oh, there you are, Nigel. I was wondering where you'd got to.
I've been in the office.
Would you like some tea?
No, thank you. Why is there a fire going, Mummy? It's far too hot in here.
Oh, Mrs. Pugsley laid it for me. I was cold.
It's only the beginning of October.
It's much nearer the middle, darling. And anyway, a great big house like this needs warming up for the winter.
Well, just as long as it doesn't get too hot for Lizzie.
Of course it won't. She needs to be warm too.
Have you been reading our twins book?
Yes, I have. It's not terribly well written, is it?
Yes, it is. Well, we both think it's wonderful.
Oh, but honestly, Nigel, it's all so obvious.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes, I do. It's as if... Oh, what's that phrase? Oh, I know. It's as if they're trying to teach a grandmother to suck eggs.
Really? Well, you should know.
Oh, don't be silly, Nigel. It's a metaphor.
I know.
I'm amazed people have the nerve to make money selling books like this.
Well, despite what you say, we've both found it extremely useful. And that reminds me of what I came in here to ask you in the first place.
Oh, well, what's that?
Well, you know we've got this relief manager coming from next week to start helping Lizzie.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with me?
Lizzie feels she's got to get everything in order before she starts the handover period.
That seems sensible.
I'm worried about her trying to do too much.
I have warned her, you know.
Well, last night she was asleep by 9 o'clock. She just conked out while we were sitting here.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I tried to get her to lie in this morning, but she wouldn't have any of it. I just wish she wouldn't try to fight it.
Mm. Oh, I see. You want me to have a little talk with her, woman to woman?
No, Mummy, you don't have to do that.
Oh, well...
No. I want you to do everything you can to help make things easier for her.
Such as?
Such as taking on more responsibility for sorting out the gallery, for a start.
But I am doing...
No, Mummy, I didn't just mean chatting up Lewis whenever he's around.
I do not chat up Lewis. Whatever gave you that idea?
I'm thinking of liaison with the artists, sorting out their problems, and making sure the workmen behave themselves, that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, I like doing that. As a matter of fact, I was thinking of heading that way anyway.
Oh, good. Shall I go down with you?
Yes, but give me 5 minutes, Nigel.
What for?
I just want to finish this chapter on coping with sleeplessness first.
If I hadn't had my little accident, we wouldn't be talking about Arkwright Hall now.
No, and we do need to, don't we?
We do. And as it's nothing to do with the hotel, it's down to me, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's lucky we had our attention drawn to it.
It's even more lucky you weren't too seriously injured.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Quite apart from the hazard it represents, I feel distinctly uncomfortable about it being so close to the hotel.
But it's been there longer than Grey Gables has.
Yes, I know that. It's just rather dangerous.
And it's not looking its best.
Certainly isn't.
Now you come to mention it, I suppose it does rather give out the wrong sort of message.
I have to say that if it was up to me, I'd seriously consider getting rid of it altogether.
What? You mean pull it down?
Putting it bluntly, yes.
Oh, Caroline, I don't think I could do that.
Well, why not?
Well, it has so much history attached to it.
But look at the state it's in now.
Yeah, we have neglected it, and I feel bad about that, but there's lots of potential there.
For what?
Well, if we did it up, I'm sure people would visit.
Perhaps we could turn it into an annex.
Ah, well, I'm not so sure about that.
But whatever you do would involve a considerable capital outlay.
Yes, and a lot of my money's tied up at the moment.
Oh, do you mind? We're having a meeting.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but Linda told me I wouldn't be disturbing.
Well, I'm afraid you are.
No, Brian, it's all right. Caroline, I think we've finished for the time being.
But we still haven't made a decision.
No, leave it with me, Caroline. I'll have a think about it.
Sounds serious.
Arkwright Hall. It's become rather a nuisance.
Yeah, well, that was a nasty accident you had, Jack.
Still, I'm sure there's a solution out there somewhere.
Well, if it was up to me, I'd pull the place down immediately. It's hardly the thing you want your guests to come across on a lovely country walk, is it?
No, I really don't want to do that. Anyway, I'll leave you to it, your business.
Thanks, Jack.
Bye.
Is this business?
Of course.
Go on, then.
Well, I've just been driving around.
Oh, have you?
You've got a patch of kale over towards the golf course. You know, cover crop.
Look, the shoot really isn't my department. I suggest you talk to Greg.
Yeah, but you see, I've got it in mind for a day's shoot in November. It's a consortium from Borchester Land. It'd be perfect.
I'm sure it will, but it's nothing to do with me. Now, if you'll excuse me...
But there aren't many birds up there at the moment, Caroline. But if Greg sorts it out, I'm sure there'll be extra business in it for you.
Then I suggest you talk to him, as I said.
Yeah, but I came here the other night to talk to you about it, but you weren't in.
Well, I'm afraid I'm very busy at the moment. Perhaps you'd like to make an appointment.
Surely we don't need to be as formal as that.
Ah, Caroline, may I have a word?
Yes, Linda.
Excuse me, Brian.
Think I'll go and find Greg.
That sounds like a good idea. What is it, Linda?
Well, one of the guests has just made an inquiry about the priest's hole at Arkwright Hall, and I wondered what I should tell him.
Oh, Nigel, don't do that. You're letting in a terrible draught.
Mummy, what have you done now?
Oh, will you please close the door before you blow these pictures off the wall?
Jerome Deakins has just come storming into the office.
What that jumped up, little man?
He's an internationally renowned artist.
And he's been intolerably rude to me.
But the success of our whole exhibition depends on the inclusion of his Cotswold Mindscapes.
I have never met anybody who's as precious about their work as he is.
He's threatened to withdraw completely unless you stop interfering.
Well, for heaven's sake, all I did was make a couple of suggestions.
Please, Liz is having a devil of a job trying to talk him round. It's really touch and go.
The man went completely berserk.
I know he can be difficult.
Ha! Difficult.
But he's exhibited all over Europe, and we're very lucky to get him. We have to treat him with respect.
I did treat him with respect. All I said was that moving one of his paintings 6 inches to the left would make very little difference.
That's not your decision.
I have never heard such a fuss over 6 inches.
Maybe 6 inches to you, Mummy, but to us it can mean the difference between success and failure.
Well, I'm sorry, but the man's a fanatic.
I accept that his artistic temperament does take a little getting used to.
Even Lewis won't go near him.
I'm not surprised. He objected so strongly to one critic's review of his work that he had a ton of manure dropped on the man's doorstep.
How puerile.
And at his next opening, he stripped naked and prostrated himself at the man's feet to mock the importance of the critic to the artist.
Yeah, well, if he did that now, no one would come within 50 miles of the exhibition.
Nevertheless, if necessary, we must humour him. We cannot afford to let anything go wrong.
Don't be so feeble, Nigel.
I only hope it's not too late already.
I'm sorry, but I'm not prepared to kowtow to such a ridiculous man.
Very well, Mummy. You leave me no option.
Nigel, what are you doing? No, let go of me.
I think it's time to concentrate on something else.
What do you mean?
Car parking, Mummy. I want you to make sure that the lines are marked out properly.
Oh. You're a hard man to track down when you're buried in the woods like this, Greg.
I heard you coming, Mr. Aldridge.
I dare say you did. You caught any of those traps of yours?
Not this time.
Hunt's not had any success with that fox either, apparently.
Well, is there something you wanted to ask me?
Yes, it's about that drive over the other side of the golf course. Block of kale.
I was there this morning. I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I was there too. Don't seem to be many birds. I was hoping to shoot at my friends from the consortium.
I'm not surprised there weren't many birds there.
Oh, why's that?
Did you drive your Land Rover up along the edge of the Kale?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact.
Didn't it occur to you that you'd be disturbing the birds by doing that?
Oh, no, actually. I suppose you're right.
Well, of course I'm right. It takes weeks to build up those drives, and then you come along, scare the daylights out of them, and the next thing, you expect them all to come running back again.
Yeah, all right. It was a bit careless.
Don't watch stupid, if you ask me.
Greg.
I'm sorry, Mr. Aldridge, but George and William and me have had a devil of a job these last few weeks.
Yes, we've all been working hard, I know.
It's bad enough as it is, stopping the birds from wandering off without having to cope with people driving them away by not thinking what they're doing.
Look, I've said I was wrong, Greg. I think perhaps we should leave it there.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd need to get on with my traps.
Of course.
And I'd appreciate it if you could tell your friends up at Grey Gables not to keep disturbing me either.
Right. Make sure they don't. Well, that's told me, isn't it?
This has cheered me up.
I suppose it helps to see other people taking the same risk as us.
Oh, please, David, don't keep calling it a risk.
Well, until we have established that we've got enough silage to get us through the winter, I don't see how we can view it any other way.
But we've joined up with this grassland discussion group precisely because other dairy farmers are recognising that better grazing is the way ahead.
OK, so we're among the pioneers. Great.
Well, if we're going to survive, we've got to get our costs down.
Yeah,
we could have our grass looking like this after a couple of years on the system.
Who says we'll be doing it for a couple of years?
Oh, look at those cattle, David. I bet they're milking well.
Yeah, they may be.
See, and the point is, it's cheap food. Just what's needed with milk prices on the floor.
But what happens when it starts to get wet?
Well, there isn't much sign of poaching so far, is there?
That's true. No churned up muddy paddocks. And yet they don't seem to have many trackways.
Well, their land's a bit lighter than ours.
You're not going to let this idea go, are you?
Well, if we don't lay that track soon, it'll be too late for this year.
Dad, you're sounding like a one-track record.
Oh, yes, excuse me, David. I need to talk to that chap over there before we go.
Yeah, all right. I'll see you back at the car.
Yeah, right.
So, come to any big decisions yet?
Oh, don't you stop.
Why not? I have to say, I'm very impressed.
Well, they're only doing the same as us.
And it's working.
So far.
Should I use the 8 iron here?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. If in doubt, I always use a 5.
Oh, such a long time since I last blade. Oh, well, here we go. Oh, blast, I missed it. Oh, stupid thing. I feel embarrassed now.
I seem to remember you're supposed to keep your eye on the ball.
Well, if it was 5 times bigger, I might stand a better chance.
Oh, have another go.
Okay. 4!
Oh, very good. You almost hit it straight.
Oh, I think that's called damning with faint praise.
Well, at least you didn't go in a ditch or a pond. In my eyes, that counts as a good shot.
Oh, come on. Let's move on. How's the response been for the harvest supper?
Oh, very good, or so I believe. Local farmers are all keen to donate beef, of course. Pat and Tony have promised some lovely vegetables.
Oh, I'm sorry not to have helped out a bit more.
Well, you've been busy. I hear Mike's been generous too.
I'm sure it's going to be a splendid British bash.
I hope so.
Debbie and Simon are very keen.
Are they?
Yeah. They told me when I went to their flat on Sunday night.
Is she happy there?
Well, she seems to be. She's moved in lock, stock and barrel.
Yes, we had a chat about it last week. I must say, Jennifer, I'm a bit worried about her just moving in with him without a second thought. Without even contemplating the idea of marriage.
Don't be so old-fashioned, Mum. Simon's just right for her. I can't remember when I last saw her so happy.
Well, I suppose that is the most important thing.
It's not easy getting used to not having her around.
I'm surprised she didn't go and stay with a friend.
Simon is her friend. He's very good for her.
Being such a whirlwind romance, though.
You know, he does all the cooking and all the housework.
Is that what they call a new man?
Suppose it is. and we had a lovely meal together.
What does Brian think of all this?
Oh, afraid I've lost patience with Brian. He's been in a bad mood about it all week.
That's hardly surprising.
It's beginning to affect his work.
Is it?
Yeah. Last night he came back fuming at the way Greg had been talking to him.
Why?
Well, apparently there was a dispute about whether he'd scared the birds away from a favoured drive.
And had he?
Well, he did admit Greg had a point. It's best to keep away at this time of year.
That doesn't sound like Brian making a mistake like that. Yeah. I think you need one of those wedge clubs from here.
Oh, right. Yeah, I suppose Greg saved me the trouble of having another go at Brian myself.
Don't mean that, do you?
Yes, I do. Is this the right club?
Probably.
Brian should never have driven Debbie away in the first place.
Surely it doesn't make sense to keep getting angry with him.
But he won't admit it was his fault. Not to Debbie, anyway.
Oh, that looks good. Uh-oh, you've landed in a bunker.
Bother. Thought it was going onto the green.
What you have to do is work at bringing Brian and Debbie back together.
But they won't go near each other.
Well, that's just got to be sorted out.
Well, it's easier said than done. At least Debbie is not being sulky about it. But she's waiting for Brian to make the first move.
And will he?
Well, I don't suppose so. Oh, he's so stubborn. Even though he knows he was wrong to threaten to disinherit her.
I think I should be able to run this onto the green.
He's so anti-Simon.
Mind out of the way, Jennifer.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. Oh, bother.
Oh, dear, you're in the bunker like me.
Oh, well, it's only a game anyway. You know, I think you should take Brian away from the farm, somewhere neutral, away from the pressure of work.
Do you?
Yes. If you can get Brian relaxed, then you can start to work on him.
You know, that sounds like a good idea. We could both do with a break.
Hello, Ruth. Had a nice day?
Not bad. The discussion group was very interesting.
Oh, good. That'll be a relief to Phil.
Would you like me to cook supper?
Have you got some catching up to do?
No, it's okay. I was going to help work with the calves, but he seems to be getting on fine on his own.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I feel guilty about letting you do all the housework anyway.
Well, in that case, that would be lovely, thank you.
Right. I was thinking of doing fish pie.
That's exactly what I was going to do.
Great. I'll just get one out of the freezer.
Do you mean a ready-made one?
Well, they're very good. We've got haddock or cod.
Actually, I'd taken some cod out of the freezer earlier. It's defrosted now.
Oh.
It is much nicer if you make it yourself. I'll give you a hand if you like.
No, no, you're having a break. I'll do it. If you at least let me have frozen peas with it.
Absolutely, I use them too.
Good. Now, where's a recipe for the sauce?
I usually find it's best to cook the fish and potatoes first.
Okay, I'll peel the spuds.
And I'll do the fish.
Honestly, Jill, you don't need to.
Mummy, can we watch this video?
Which one's that?
The one about the big fluffy dog.
Beethoven, that's a bit long to start now.
Oh, that's not fair.
Save it for the weekend.
Can I see that video?
Yes, Granny, you'll let me watch it, won't you?
Pip, don't ask Grandma when I've said no.
This is the one I recorded Inspector Morse on.
It's all right, Granny, we don't go for that.
Yes, but your grandpa and I were really looking forward to that.
I'm sorry, Jill. Pip, go and find something shorter like Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
Huh. It's the second time that's happened.
I'm really sorry. Do you boil the fish?
Steaming's better. You can do it over the potatoes. Why don't you let me skin it for you?
Okay. Thanks.
Right.
Hi, you two.
Hello, love.
It started raining and now it's distinctly murky.
Oh, time to stop then.
That's what I thought. Ruth, Bert's a bit fed up. He said you were supposed to help with the calves.
He told me he didn't need me.
Oh, well, he's changed his tune.
But I'm busy now.
All right. Suppose I can go. Oh, but not before I've had a couple of Mum's biscuits. No, what is it now?
Can you see to that, David?
I only just sat down.
Right, I'll do it.
Kids, eh?
Yeah. P Pip's tipped over an Inspector Morse we recorded. We hadn't even seen yet.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's one of our favourite programmes. Your father will be really disappointed.
Oh, dear. Is that going to be fish pie when it's finished?
Yes.
Great. I love your fish pie.
Ruth's making it.
Oh, is she? Oh, well, I'm sure hers will be nice too.
It's very easy. Ruth says the discussion group went well.
Yes, it did. Dad's full of it, of course.
And how about you?
Well, helps to see other people doing the same thing.
But?
But I'm still not sure we should plunge in with this new trackway. I mean, what if we change back to the old system next year?
Don't you think you should give this one a fair crack of the whip first?
Meaning what?
Well, from what your father says, the track's a vital part of it, isn't it, darling?
Yes, but I've already told David that several times. He even stopped me ordering the hardcore last week.
It's only because we hadn't all agreed to it, Dad.
Personally, I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah, nobody else seems to either, only me.
Oh, hauling that last lot of potatoes has really finished me off. I'm whacked.
I know the feeling.
What's for supper, love?
Ruth's making us fish pie. Though I'm not sure when, at this rate.
Oh, why don't you make it instead?
Do you know what Josh has done?
No, what?
He's only gone and shoved a biscuit into the video recorder. It won't work at all now.
Oh, no.
You sort it out, David. I've got to get on with this supper.
Yeah, hang on, I've got to give Bert a hand in a minute.
OK, don't bother. I'll do it. Pip, don't you dare smack Josh. If you do that again, you'll go straight to bed without any supper.
Nice to have peace and quiet when you get home from a hard day's work, isn't it?
Yes, it would be.
Well, that's the fish ready. I think I'll put these potatoes on to boil now.
Oh, dear, now Pip's gone to cry in her room.
Jill, do you think you could try to calm Josh down?
Why don't you do that and I'll get on with the supper?
No, I've started so I've finished.
If you say so, come on then, Josh. I expect another one of Granny's biscuits would help. Oh,
there you are. Yeah, just don't let him near a machine with it, will you?
Oh, I see your daddy's eaten all the chocolate ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that one will do instead, won't it?
Right, let's get these potatoes on.
You know, sometimes it really is easier just to indulge your grandchildren to get a quiet life.
You mean you can get away with it more as a grandparent?
Possibly. Although parents nowadays indulge their children much more than we ever did.
Pip! Pip! Stop that at once! Yeah, and maybe sometimes it pays if children indulge their parents for a quiet life as well.
What do you mean?
I mean, Dad, that I'm going to order that hardcore for the trackway.
Really?
Yeah, but we're going to do it on my terms, all right? I'll find the cheapest price and I'll make the arrangement.
Oh, that's fine by me. I knew you'd see sense in the end.
Don't do that, Tom. It's getting on my nerves.
Sorry. It's just I'm worried about this meeting with our friend.
Why? You don't need to be.
Don't I? Like I said, this is the biggest break we've ever had with the pigs, and in 2 weeks' time I could be in jail.
Don't look at it like that.
Well, how else can I look at it?
Well, I didn't take an afternoon off to come to this meeting with you, only for you to give up before we've even started.
It's you that made me arrange it.
Oh, so it's my fault now, is it? My fault that you want to wallow in self-pity and throw away the best chance you've got of really achieving something.
Don't get heavy with me.
Oh, pull yourself together, Tom. This isn't helping anyone.
OK, you're right. If Hayley was still involved, she'd be telling me the same thing. She was really excited about it, wasn't she?
And so would John be.
Yeah, he'd be proud of us too.
Of course he would.
I wonder what he'd think about me going on trial.
He'd probably think you're a stupid billock.
No, he wouldn't. We might have trashed that crop together.
Get real, Tom. John might have done a lot of things, but he wouldn't have done that.
I don't know. He'd be backing me up now anyway.
And he would be selling his meat to Howard Friend for the best price he could get. Come on, finish my notes. It's time to go.
Steady there, Della. Easy. Steady. Now, keep calm. Della, steady now. Steady. Steady.
Chris, let me help you.
Whoa, Della. Whoa. That's it. Good girl. That's my girl.
You got her under control?
Oh, yes, Phil. Don't worry. We'll be all right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise she'd react like that.
Oh, she's been acting up all day. She gets like this about once a month. I think it's got something to do with the moon. There, you're all right now.
Well, at least this is my last trip today, so I won't disturb you again.
Oh, don't worry. Della's heading back to her stable anyway. You won't scare the others. Hey, you look tired.
Yes, I am. This potato harvest exhausting me. Trawling backwards and forwards to that store.
It looks like jolly heavy work. Would you like a cuppa?
Oh, thanks, Chris. I'd love one, but I should be getting back to help Bert with the carving.
Oh, well, never mind.
The trouble is, I'm not getting any younger.
None of us is. And how are things settling down now you're back at Brookfield?
Oh, don't ask.
Oh, why not?
Well, it's a bit of a nightmare having two families under one roof. We do things in such different ways.
Oh, that's a shame.
I envy you and George. Must be nice, just the two of you, now that he's spending more time at home.
Well, if he is, then no one's told me about it.
Oh?
I'm lucky to see him more than two afternoons a week.
Well, his tree warden duties can't keep him that busy, surely.
No, it's not that. He can't resist helping Greg out. First it was an hour or two once a week. Now it's whole afternoons and several of them.
Can't you stop him?
No, I can't. That's why I'm here now. I went back an hour ago and there was no sign of him, so I thought I might as well come and sort Della out.
If you gave me the option of retirement right now, I'd probably leap at it.
Oh, go on with you. You farmers never retire, just like George.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I shouldn't be surprised, of course. He always was devoted to his job.
And I suppose with Greg having to run two shoots instead of one...
Oh, come on. He's got William, remember? I'm beginning to think the only solution is to whisk George away on holiday.
Now, that sounds like a good idea.
Lillian's always saying we should pop over and see her in Guernsey. I think we'll take her up on it.
Mm. Oh, here's Ruth.
Pip's offered to help us in the stables for an hour or so. Mm,
that'll be good for her. Better than watching telly.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Phil.
Hello.
I've left Pip with Joanne. Is that okay?
Yeah, she'll tell her what to do.
Well, I'd better get off, haven't I? Before you tell everyone I'm slacking.
Don't worry, your secret's safe with me.
Will Della be okay if I start up?
Yeah, she's much calmer now.
Right.
She seems lively.
Don't worry, I won't put Pip in with her.
It's really good of you to have her, Chris. She needs to get out of the house and do something physical. She and Josh are getting at each other all the time.
I suppose that's inevitable when you're all crowded together.
Oh, you can say that again. At least they all survived me cooking last night.
Oh, can't be that bad.
It isn't really. It's just that everyone loves Jill's cooking. They'd be happy for her to do it all the time.
And I expect she'd be happy to oblige.
She's so good at everything around the house. It's only me that seems to have a problem.
I do sympathise. Even if you don't necessarily have a great desire to do the household chores.
Who does?
It's never easy if you're made to feel redundant as a homemaker.
Well, that's exactly how it feels. Mm. I mean, I know I'm not the most domesticated of souls, but even David turns his nose up at my efforts when his mum's around.
That must be very difficult.
I'm determined to stick at it, though. And I'm going to make sure David does his share, too.
You know, I've just remembered something that might help. Oh, I hope you don't think I'm interfering.
Of course not.
Well, a friend's house sale once took longer to go through than expected, and we put our family up for a while.
Right.
They were pretty messy, and things started to get tricky, but then we worked out a system, and from what I remember, it seemed to work pretty well.
Oh, yeah?
Perhaps you should give it a try.
I've been looking at a fair few lines in organic sausages, I can tell you.
Not like ours, though.
Quite. And I'm pleased to say that Bridge Farm Organic showed up very well against the competition.
Great.
Does that mean that you think we're the best?
Well, not to beat about the bush, Tom. Yes, it does. And what's more, you're on our doorstep, so to speak.
Yeah, I suppose we are.
I'm always keen to support local enterprise. That's part of our ethos.
You take some of my dad's stuff, don't you?
Yes, we do, but I'm assuming this is a different arm of the business.
Yes, that's right. Treat us as independent organic producers.
That's fine. Now, the sausages I tasted at the farmer's market were... pork and leek, I think. What others do you do?
Well, we've got several on the go at the moment, and we'd like to experiment with more varieties.
We do pure pork and a nice one with herbs and a spicy one too.
Yeah, the spicy ones go down really well.
Fine. Well, perhaps I could sample some of those too, but at the moment I'm interested in the pork and leek.
Great. So do you think you'll be placing an order?
I do indeed. I'd like to introduce Bridge Farm sausages into my store.
Really?
That's brilliant.
We need a decent quantity, of course, to make it a going concern.
Such as?
Say, Well, 100 half-kilo packs a month, to start with.
Yeah, okay.
And if they sell well, we can raise the numbers from there.
Sure.
Hang on a sec, Helen.
Is there a problem with that?
Well, we'd love to do it.
And we will.
But our production of sausages isn't really running at that level yet.
But you can raise it, can't you?
I'm sure we can.
It could be some months before we reach that kind of output.
Well, that's a pity. I'd hope to start in the run-up to Christmas, but if you can't cope...
No, we can cope.
Helen!
Shut up, Tom. Sorry about that, Mr. Friend. I'm sure we can do it.
Are you really certain? Because there are several other outlets I could try in time for the Christmas market.
No, no.
Helen, we've got to be realistic here. I hadn't realised it'd be such a big quantity so quickly.
But it's not a problem. Mr. Friend, I'm sure we'll be able to achieve it.
Absolutely sure?
Yes.
Good.
But
nothing, Tom. Think about it. If we pull out all the stops, we can do it. You know we can.
Oh. Isn't it nice to have a bit of peace and quiet?
Well, actually, I was just going to put on that documentary we wanted to watch.
Oh, yes, I've been looking forward to that.
And David and Ruth aren't here to stop us. It's on in a couple of minutes. I'll keep the sound down for now. Oh, that was a lovely lasagna you made for us.
Thank you. I don't think you should have done the dishwasher, though. It must be David's turn.
Well, he had to look at something on the drill.
Funny how there always seems to be something.
I can't believe Pip's only just gone to sleep.
Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to take her to the stables. She's been talking non-stop about the horses ever since she got back.
Well, I hope you two aren't going to talk non-stop now.
Why, is there a problem?
No, it's just there's a programme your mum and I'd like to watch.
Sorry, I didn't realise there was an embargo on conversation.
Oh. It's not that serious. But if you could just keep it down a bit.
OK, we'll try. You know Mike reckons the pump needs looking at in the milk and pie.
Oh, no. I hope that doesn't mean more money.
We can't afford to let that sort of thing go.
Oh, I know. There just seem to be so many things to think about at the moment.
Like being asked to give evidence for the prosecution in Tommy's trial.
Yeah, it's quite scary when you think how close it all is.
No, I'm sorry, David. Could you keep it down a bit? We can't hear a thing.
Sorry. Do you really want to watch this? It looks so depressing.
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact.
You see, unlike you, when we settle down to watch something, it's because we really want to.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you almost change channels.
That's because I want to know what's on.
You'd never watch anything for longer than 10 minutes.
I do.
No, you don't. You should be more selective.
I hardly ever watch it anyway. I don't have time.
If you two are going to argue, I'll turn it off.
All I do is look things up in the Radio Times. Then I know what I want to watch, and I can plan ahead.
But when I wanted to watch something the other night, you complained because you wanted to play your music instead.
Right, I'm turning it off now.
No, that was different, Ruth. You watched for 5 minutes, got bored with it, and turned over to something else.
Oh, for heaven's sake. We're allowed to change our minds, aren't we?
I must say, it does sometimes feel as though you two switch on the television because you can't be bothered to do anything else.
Well, what's wrong with that? By the time I get in, I'm knackered.
What you two want to do and what we want to do aren't always the same thing.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I was talking to Chris earlier on and she came up with a good idea.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
She suggested we should try a rota system. Then we each get our turn to choose what we watch on telly.
Or if we don't watch anything at all.
We could extend it to other areas too, like cooking supper, washing up and tidying away.
Well, I suppose it'd stop this sort of argument.
Would it?
Yeah, so long as everybody sticks to it.
Or we could carry on arguing like this.
Oh, all right.
Right. I'll get the pen and paper so we can make up a list.
Oh, God, I'm shattered.
There's some macaroni cheese if you want.
Thanks, I'll have some in a while.
How was the carving?
Hard going, especially when you've been up for 16 hours already. What's that you're reading?
Just an article on the development of farmers' markets.
Sorry I asked.
So, we've just got an inspection by Howard Friend's managers next week to get through, and then we're away.
You make it sound so easy.
All you need to do is make sure everything's in good condition, repair any broken arcs, put down clean straw.
Yeah, I know all that. It's these production details they want to check I'm worried about.
We just have to convince them we're set up to produce the quality they want, all the time.
It's a far higher rate than we've ever managed before. It's too much.
No, it isn't. And anyway, in business you can't afford to pass up opportunities like these.
Helen, this isn't an exercise in one of your textbooks. This is real life.
No one will take you seriously if you duck out of this one.
So where are all these extra sausages going to come from?
Stop worrying. If we can't expand production in time for Christmas,
you know we can't.
We can if we stop supplying so many pigs for pork.
We can't do that. We'll be letting Bill down.
We haven't got any choice.
But he's been taking pork from us ever since John set it up. Doesn't loyalty mean anything to you?
Of course it does. But this is our big chance, Tom. We've got to take it. ¶¶
Adrian, it's Usha Gupta.
Oh, Usha. What have you got for me this time?
I've been reading up on the antibiotic resistance gene, you know, in GM oilseed rape. I thought there were some points we could use.
Good. It's all grist to the mill.
Well, I think we should explore every avenue.
Absolutely. How's young Tom Archer bearing out, by the way?
Fine, I think.
Yeah, he's a feisty young chap, isn't he? I'm sure he'll make a very good defendant.
He's very pleased that we managed to get you as our counsel.
I'm looking forward to meeting him. Now, fire away on antibiotic resistance. I'm recording you now.
OK. The point is, a lot of GM oilseed rape lines, including this one of Bealtex, have these things called marker genes. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, that's fine. Okay.
The particular genes we're talking about don't have any role in the final crop. They're really just the remnants of the genetic engineering technique.
What are they for, then?
Well, like the name suggests, they're used as markers. The genetic engineers attach them to the genes they're interested in to see if they've been transferred to the new plant. You could say they were a kind of genetic tag.
So they're a research tool, basically, these antibiotic resistance genes.
Yeah. Once past the research stage, they're totally unnecessary for the crop in the field. And yet, more often than not, the resistance gene is left in, as in the case of our crop.
Is there a risk in that?
There could be. You could get these resistant genes being transferred to bacteria in the gut of livestock feeding on oilseed rape meal. That's what's left over after the oil's been extracted for human consumption.
So what's the problem in animal feed if the resistance gene does get passed on?
Well, nobody's completely sure, but there is at least a theoretical risk of antibiotic resistance being passed up the food chain.
Oh, can't be a good idea.
No, it isn't. There are examples with other crops too, but obviously they're less relevant to our case.
OK, we won't go into those now. Perhaps you could send me a copy of your notes.
I'll fax them to you now.
Good. I know there's a lot of concern in the medical field over antibiotic resistance.
Definitely. And they could lead to valuable drugs becoming less effective on both humans and animals. I'll get the notes over to you.
Thanks. And do give me a call if there's anything else, won't you? Speak to you later.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Debbie, there you are.
Yeah, I've just come to get a couple of cartridges for the grease gun on the combine. We've run out.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't spot that first off instead of having to come back for them.
Well, I can't get everything right last time, can I?
No, I suppose not. Good to see the ram's been brought to top.
Is it? The prices they're getting for lamb these days, it hardly seems worth bothering.
Oh, I don't know. Got to turn the corner sometime, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to know when exactly. Was there anything specific you want to talk to me about?
No, not really. Simon won't know what's hit him when lambing starts. He won't see you from dawn to dusk.
You know, you were so concerned about Simon's feelings.
No? Well, no, I was just thinking. He's not very familiar with farming, is he?
He's learning.
Don't suppose he likes getting his hands dirty, though.
Why do you think that?
Well, he's more of an intellectual, isn't he? Happier reading books.
No, that doesn't mean he isn't interested in what I do.
Well, I didn't say that.
Anyway, you don't get your hands dirty that often, do you?
Debbie.
Why do you always have to try and run him down, Dad?
I wasn't running him down. I was just making an observation that he's not a farmer.
No, he never will be if you have your way.
Debbie, please. Look, it's a matter of complete indifference to me what Simon chooses to do with his life. But I do care about what you do with yours.
If you really cared, Dad, you'd accept what's going on between me and Simon.
Well, how can I when you refuse
Save
to...
it, Dad. I'm not in the mood for any more lectures about Simon, our relationship,
but you won't let
my
me...
job, or anything
I wasn't
else.
Going
no, leave
to...
it, Dad. I don't want to know.
Brian, what's going on?
Oh, it's Debbie. She won't listen to a word I say. Oh, for heaven's sake, I was only trying to make conversation.
And the conversation was about Simon, of course.
Well, yes.
You could try talking about something else, you know.
It's all very well to say that, but she doesn't actually want to speak to me at all.
It's not working between you two, is it?
Oh, no, it isn't.
Well, I just think you should be more careful about what you say to her and try not to upset her.
You know, that's typical of you at the moment.
What?
You're so obviously on her side.
Yes, I am, and so should you be.
You see, that's exactly what I mean.
Well, I'm not going to apologise if that's what you're looking for.
Don't be silly. I just want you to stop encouraging her.
Oh, so I'm to stop being glad that my daughter's happy.
Happy? If you had any idea what damage you might be doing.
Oh, now you're becoming paranoid.
Oh, this is getting us nowhere. I've got a meeting at the Agricultural College. I'll see you later.
Bye. Debbie, can I have a word?
What about? I need to get back to the combine.
Won't take a moment.
All right. What is it? Anything to do with Dad, by any chance?
Yes, what else? I'm...
I'm thinking of booking a few days away with him.
Really?
Don't sound so surprised.
Well, I am a bit.
It'll be a good way to get him relaxed.
And?
Well, don't you see, if he's relaxed, I can work on him and try to make him see sense over Simon.
Good luck to you.
You don't think it's a good idea?
Yes, I suppose it's as good an idea as anything else. No, go on. Why don't you give it a try?
Oh, good. Glad you agree. Didn't want to book anything before I checked with you.
No, it's fine with me.
Of course, you'd have to take over running the farm for a few days.
When are you thinking of going?
Towards the end of next week.
Oh, you'll miss the harvest supper.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. Still, I'm not involved in the running of it this year.
Well, I can manage anyway. It's just a matter of whether Dad will let me.
Well, I'm sure he will. Even he can't quibble with the quality of your work.
I hope not.
Let's just hope I can make him see sense.
Yes. It'd be nice to have him back as a human being again.
Adrian Manderson's an excellent barrister, Tom.
Good.
In fact, I don't think we could have found a better one.
Great.
What's the matter? You sound worried.
Oh, it's nothing.
It's been a long, hard slog getting our defence together, hasn't it? But we're nearly there now.
I know.
And it's only natural to be nervous about the trial.
It's not a problem, Musha. I'll cope with it.
I expect you're missing Kirsty.
Of course I am. But I'm used to it.
You mustn't get too used to it. That wouldn't be healthy.
Yeah, well, we've both got to put up with it, haven't we? We'll manage.
At least on the legal side, I think we're going to be about as well prepared as we could be.
We should be, after all the effort you've been putting in.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
Well, you've been putting in a lot of effort too. There's an awful lot to take in.
Yeah. I reckon I could take a degree in genetic modification by now.
I know that we are going to give it our best shot.
Yeah.
Look, if you're still not absolutely confident about what's going to happen, we can run through it again in as much detail as you like.
You know what I said just now?
What?
About taking a degree in it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking. It really is like an exam, isn't it?
Well, in a way, yes.
So much revision to do. It's going to be the hardest exam I've ever done. And I'm taking it on my own, in public, with everybody waiting for me to make a mistake.
They're not waiting for you to make a mistake.
That's what it feels like.
Well, it's a pretty good analogy as far as it goes, but the thing about exams, I've always found, is to go into them as well prepared as you can and to believe in your own abilities.
I don't like exams.
I'm not saying you have to. I don't like them either. But I've always been determined not to be beaten by them.
I tell you what, let's just forget about pretending it's an exam.
OK. Do you want to think about it in another way?
Not really. Sometimes I wish it wasn't happening at all.
I can't help you there, I'm afraid. Some people say it's a bit like performing in a play.
Is it?
I suppose it is. People are dressed up, each one takes their turn to say their piece. There's an audience watching from the gallery.
That's going to make it even worse.
Well, so long as you're comfortable with the argument, the speeches, then you'll be okay.
But what if somebody starts saying something I don't understand?
Well, don't be afraid to admit it. It's better to be honest. They can always be made to explain it in simpler terms. You mustn't try to pretend you know everything.
Not much danger of that.
Above all, stick with what you know to be right in your head. Leave the detail to the experts.
I will, don't worry. I just wish I didn't have to think about other stuff at the moment.
Such as?
We're on the verge of signing a deal with one of those organic superstores to supply them with our sausages. Howard Friends is.
Well, that's great news. Well done.
I know, but it's a bit more complicated than that. It's really going to stretch us to the limit. And I know Helen's going to help as much as she can.
But?
Well, with all this hanging over me, I feel as though I can't really commit to anything. But this may be the best chance we ever get.
There will also be many more chances in years to come.
Not if we blow this one.
Well, who says you're going to?
Anyway, it's made me realise that no matter how strongly I feel about GMOs, what I want to do more than anything else is get back to being a farmer, and a damn good one at that.
Well, now what's the matter?
They only called the meeting off, didn't they?
Not so terrible.
Yes, when you've all been sitting there like lemons for 3/4 of an hour waiting for someone to turn up before he bothers to phone and tell you he can't make it.
Did they give you lunch?
Well, they offered some, but I couldn't be bothered.
Well, there's some chicken in the fridge. I'll make you a sandwich if you like.
No, thanks. No, I'll get something later.
Well, don't miss out just because you're in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood.
Well, that's fine then.
No, I'm... Oh, I'm sorry, Jenny. I've been a bit stressed lately.
Tell me about it.
It's not fair to take it out on you.
I've been thinking, Brian. Wouldn't it be a good idea if we took a little holiday together?
Whatever gave you that idea?
Why, all the strain we've both been under recently.
Most farmers get stressed at this time of year.
Yeah, well, I know that, but there's all this business with Debbie as well.
You want to get me away from her?
No, Brian, I just think it would do us both good to get away from the whole thing for a few days.
Well, I have to admit, that's quite an attractive prospect right now.
It is rather, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll have a think about it. And I think I will have that sandwich after all.
Oh, okay. Actually, you don't need to think about it, darling.
Why is that?
I've already booked something.
What? Well, hold on, Jenny. I'm not even sure that now's the right time to leave the farm.
When is?
Well, there's a lot going on at the moment.
I know, and I've already checked with Debbie, and she's more than happy to take over for a few days.
Is she?
Yes, she is.
Well, I'm not sure that leaving Debbie in charge is a good idea at all. I mean, she's been so distracted recently.
Well, she's been working extremely hard. Even you can't fault her on that.
No, but that's not the point. Running the farm is a very big responsibility.
You know she's perfectly capable of taking on that responsibility, and she works to a very high standard.
Well, that's true. Her work generally is first class.
And you know that she wouldn't let you down, don't you?
All right, you win. Yeah, I could do with a break.
That's marvellous.
But you better tell me where we're going.
Oh, no. I'm afraid that's my little secret.
The Archers is written by Paul Broderick, and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Louise Gifford, and the editor is Vanessa Whitford.